This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Mortgage commercials are rarely exciting. So to make it slightly more interesting, here are my nieces to do it for me.
So interest rates continue to drop like my sister's baby teeth.
Come on, Uncle Ryan had to say the same thing last year.
That's true. Last year, it was rates are boring talk historically low. And now this year, they're somehow even more boring talk historically lower than the previous boring talk historically low.
Sounds boring.
But for so many listeners who just haven't wanted to deal with it, refinancing right now
could save you massive amounts of Lego sets.
Rates have gotten that low. Some borrowers could potentially save hundreds monthly and tens of thousands over the life of a loan. And if you didn't put 20% down before, some could even stop having to pay PMI.
Give Uncle Ryan a shot.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Today on Bold Steps Weekend, Mark Jobe shows us how to step out into faith while confronting our fears.
I believe as long as we stay hidden, as long as we stay in the shadows, as long as we stay hidden in the crowd, as long as we never bring it to God, then He can never deal with it. God is the God that calls to the light those things that need to change. Can I tell you this? It's the nature of God to call us out.
Welcome to the new Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe. Mark is the president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, we've come to the last message in Mark's series, What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. And today we'll be looking at how we can take the first bold step into a new direction. I know there are a lot of people who get stuck in the season they're in because they're unwilling or anxious or afraid. But in this lesson, Mark is going to show us how to stop hovering at the edge, even when the transition into that new season is difficult and challenging. Our message comes from Luke chapter 13, and here's Mark Jobe.
Transition is difficult. It's challenging. I'll never forget when my daughter, Marissa, who now is married and has a baby who has created a lot of joy in the Jobe household. But when she was about to turn 20 years old, I said, Marissa, what do you want to do for your birthday? And she got a little light in her eyes, looked at me and said, Dad, I know exactly what I want to do for my 20th birthday. I said, what's that? She said, I want to go skydiving. I said, okay, who's going to go with you? I want you to go with me. I said, all right. So we did a daughter-daddy skydive. And I tell you, the scariest part of the entire adventure was to have to fill out a sign about a 20-page document saying that they weren't responsible for anything that happened. Plane goes down, not responsible. Parachute doesn't open, not responsible. Then when we got up into that plane, I'll never forget the guy was strapped behind me and he said, when the door opens, you have to go to the edge and all you have to do is just sort of step out. And so the door opened, but I didn't realize we would be 12,000 feet up in the air. And when you look into the abyss, it's not that easy to take a step. And I remember pausing, hesitating, grabbing onto the side a little bit stronger, knowing, hey, I can't stand. This would be terrible. If I backed out now, all it requires is one step, but it was one scary step. And so I took the step. And what a fun experience it was to fly through the air, knowing, of course, that there was a parachute on the other side. But I had to take the one step. Some of you today are in a transitional season. And we've talked about what it means to move into a next season, but you have to do, well, you have to do what's very difficult to do, and that's take the first step. And so I want to take your attention to a passage found in Luke chapter 13. I'm praying that the Spirit of God would speak to some people as you listen, that God would take my fumbling words, but empowered because I'm preaching the Word of God, and there's always power in His Word. And as my words are verbalized and as the camera captures and our audio equipment captures it, it will go through wires and then wirelessly somehow to your devices and to your television sets and to your smartphones. And as you begin to hear the Word of God proclaimed to you, there's a dynamic combustion that happens as your faith is mixed with the Word of God. The Spirit of the mighty God, Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, He takes the word that mixes with your faith and He creates a powerful spiritual combustion that results in our transformation. And I'm praying for some of your lives that it would result in the beginning of a new season. We don't know this woman's name. Scripture doesn't tell us her name. We do know that Jesus, well, His reputation had been growing, and the opposition against Him was starting to flourish. In this book, the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus in a synagogue. Now, it would shortly be that Jesus no longer could enter the synagogue because of the opposition of people. But at this time, the tension had grown, but He could still enter the synagogue. Now, the synagogue, for those of you that are wondering what a synagogue is, it's the equivalent of a Hebrew church. And Jesus had entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath, which is when they would gather together, and they would do much like we do here. They would open up the Word. Of course, they only had the Old Testament, and so they would open up the scrolls, and someone would read a portion of the Old Testament scripture, and people would come and they would listen to the scripture, and this was their part of their worship experience. And the Bible zooms in on an account happening in Luke chapter 13. Luke, who, by the way, was a physician, wrote both the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and also the book of Acts as well. And so Luke, who is this detailed physician, is writing, capturing all of what is transpiring as Jesus is ministering in the synagogue. And so Jesus is in the synagogue and He's invited to this worship ceremony. And the Bible tells us this, that there was a woman at the synagogue who had been there for 18 years. It appears that this woman was a regular worshiper, someone that would come on a regular basis, someone that would show up when the doors are open, someone that was not an unfamiliar face, someone that people knew about, that children pointed to, that neighbors knew. They knew her name and she was there on a regular basis, but this would be a different day for her. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10, it says, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and she could not straighten up at all. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I'm talking about how to take the first bold step. Sometimes there is a toxic spiritual root that has grown and it affects our entire person. Now, the Bible zeroes in on this woman. There were probably hundreds of people in the synagogue, but the Spirit of God zeroes in on this particular woman because she's about to have an encounter with Jesus. And the Gospel of Luke wants us to make sure that we don't miss this encounter that would transform her life. And it tells us that this woman had been crippled by a spirit. Interestingly enough, the language that is used when it talks about being crippled is this woman had been weakened. This woman's strength had been sapped. She no longer had the physical strength, spiritual stamina, and mental power to be able to stand up erect like you and I walk around. In fact, the Bible tells us that she had been crippled in such a way that she was completely bent over and could not straighten up at all. Now, this was not a new condition. It wasn't something that suddenly she was struggling with recently. It was a season of her life. Not only was it a season, it was chapter after chapter of her life. In fact, it was 18 years of her life. 18 years is a long time. The older I get, the more I feel like life is divided into chapters. Like it's almost like I lived a whole life, then I live another whole life, and then I live another whole life. I think of my first 18 years. I grew up in Spain, and I lived in a little village of 200 people and went to a one-room schoolhouse, and there were sheep and oxen that ran around the village, and I spoke Spanish, and I went to church in a stable, and it was a whole different life, and I lived that life really into the age of almost 18, 17, and then I came to Chicago, and it feels like there's a whole different chapter of my life. 18 years of her life. 18 years. She had struggled. Now, I want you to notice that it's interesting that this woman had a physical problem, but it had a spiritual root. It was manifested in the physical realm, but the stronghold, the root of the issue was not physical. The root of the issue was spiritual. And Luke, who is a physician, a doctor, a medical doctor that examines people and was very acquainted with the physical aspects of it, he saw that she had a physical problem, but he points out quickly that it was a spiritual issue that led to her physical problem that spilled over into her social life, her ability to worship God, her ability to interact with other people. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to remember that sometimes what we think is the problem is not the problem. Sometimes the problem is not the problem. You have to look beyond the exterior problem and look to ask yourself, what is the root of this problem? Sometimes a child that seems like they have a learning disability because they can't concentrate in school and they can't focus and they seem distracted, you may want to test them because you think, well, this child has special needs and they can't focus. But what you don't know is that there's abuse going on in the household and it feels like it's a learning disability, but maybe an emotional problem because of something that's happening at home. You see, the problem isn't always the problem. You have to look deeper. And Luke tells us that this woman had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years.
Seeking the source to make changes in your life. You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job, and this is Bold Steps Weekend. We'll jump back into the second half of today's message in just a moment, so please stay with us. Well, Passover is just around the corner, so we'd like to invite you to get stepping in your walk with Christ by signing up for our email devotional, The Bold Stepper Weekly. Get inspirational messages from Mark and his latest sermon highlights delivered right to your inbox each Monday morning. The Bold Stepper Weekly is free, and you can sign up at boldstepsweekend.org. Now, let's return to Mark in a message he's titled, Take the First Bold Step.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe, gives us an insight. It's an incidental insight. He's not really talking about the trichotomy of man, but he happens to mention in the context of God sanctifying us. Sanctifying us means to set apart, to make whole, to make pure in himself. And he's talking about our entire being. And he says this, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And then he describes what he means by through and through. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he describes the trichotomy of man. And I've explained this to you before, but let me say it again. We are composed of body, soul, and spirit. The body is that part of us which is the flesh that we understand, that part that gets tired, that part that gets sick, that part that wants to eat, that part that has cravings. That is the body part of us. But within our body, mysteriously housed within our body, is something that we call the soul. And the soul is that part of us which is our personality. We would call it our personality. It's our intellect, our will, our emotions. It's what makes us us, uniquely us. But then there's a part of us that is also elusive. It's hard to put your hand on. It's a part that a lot of people don't understand, and it's called the spirit. The spirit is that part of us that connects to the spiritual world. Every individual, every human being is a spiritual being. You cannot be a human being without having a spirit. The spirit and the soul is that which lives or exists forever. The Bible is very clear about it. Some will exist forever in the presence of God, and some will exist forever out of the presence of God. And the Bible calls that eternal death, and it calls existing in the presence of God eternal life. So your soul and your spirit are eternal. Your body is temporary. Some of you are saying, hallelujah, I want to get rid of this old thing. Now, what we need to understand is that this woman was stuck in a season of her life. Hear me well. This woman was stuck in a season of her life because somehow a door had been opened for a spiritual stronghold to get a foot into her life, and she was unable to rid herself of the spiritual stronghold that affected her soul and her body for 18 years, even though the root was spiritual. She lived in that season. She operated in that season. I want you to notice this. She even went to church in that season, but seemed unable to rid herself of this toxic power that kept her crippled both physically and emotionally, but it had a spiritual root. I think it's important to understand this because I believe that oftentimes we're stuck in a season of our life because there has to be a spiritual breakthrough that happens to take us to our next season. And some people with little discernment may have thought, well, it's just a physical issue, and if she can get done with this physical issue, then she can transition into her next season. But it was more than that. It was a spiritual issue. I don't know what season you're in right now, but I'm wondering if you've identified being stuck in that season, and if you need to move on to the next season, if you've actually done a good analysis of why you're in that season. And you may point at your surrounding, you may point at the people around you, you may point at your relationships, you may point at your circumstances, but maybe the root is a spiritual root and not just a circumstantial root or a societal root. It may be deeper than what you think. And so we are introduced to this woman who has been stuck in this situation for 18 years. And so, number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. The journey to freedom often begins by stepping out in our greatest faith to confront our greatest fear. The Bible tells us in verse 12 of Luke chapter 13, when Jesus saw her. See, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout all the earth. He searches the hearts of men and women. He looks at us. He knows us. He studies us. He penetrates our being. He looks into our soul. He sees our spirit. And I love when it says in this passage, when Jesus saw her, when he saw her, I feel like I'm compelled to tell you today that you are not invisible to God. In fact, I feel like I have to tell you that Jesus sees you. Even before you've seen him, he sees you. Even if you are not aware of him looking at you, he sees you. And I want you to know that, because there are so many people that somehow believe they are anonymous to God. There is no anonymity in God. He sees you. And the Bible says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Now, I want you to understand what's happening in this transition time. Jesus is calling a deformed woman. This woman was bent over. Most scholars believe that she was fully and completely bent over so that she could not raise her head and could not look up straight. She was a severe curvature of the spine that had its roots in her spirit. So Jesus calls forward a deformed woman out of the shadows of her personal cave into the spotlight. It's a difficult moment because no one likes to come into the spotlight of other people's attention, especially if you are keenly aware that there is something wrong with you. This woman, I'm sure, had been called names. This woman, I'm sure, walked with shame. This woman, I'm sure, was very aware that she was not like everybody else. This woman, I'm sure, was very acutely aware that she no longer wanted to live like she was living, but she was stuck living in a way that she did not want to live. And she was very, very aware of the difference between her and regular people. Can I tell you this? It's the nature of God to call us out. In fact, I believe that God can never heal that which we conceal. I believe that God can never deal with that which is not exposed. I believe as long as we stay hidden, as long as we stay in the shadows, as long as we stay hidden in the crowd, as long as we never bring it to God, then he can never deal with it. God is the God that calls to the light those things that need to change. So if there's something in your life that needs to change, if there's something that needs to be altered so that you can move into another season, it will never happen unless it comes to the light. God is the God that calls out that which needs to change. He's done it all through Scripture, over and over. I see it in Scripture. In fact, in the very beginning of the book of Genesis, Adam had sinned against God and Eve as well. And the Bible tells us that Adam hid himself, and God called Adam out and said, "Adam, where are you?" Now, how many of you know that when God calls your name in hide and go seek, it's not because he doesn't know where you're at? Hello, you don't play hide and go seek with God. So when God is saying to Adam, "Where are you?" it's not because he doesn't know where he is. It's because he wants Adam to respond and say, "I'm hiding, and so I come out of my hiding." And God understood that unless Adam was willing to respond and come out of his hiding, that he could never be healed. God called Adam out of the shadows, not because he didn't know where he was and not because he didn't know what he had done. He called Adam out of the shadows because he understood that Adam had to come to the light to deal with his issues. I'm talking to someone here today. The nature of God is to call his people out.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe, and this is our newest program, Bold Steps Weekend. As a listener-supported ministry, Bold Steps Weekend relies on the voluntary donations of friends like you who share our vision. You can give a one-time gift or sign up to be a Bold Steps partner when you commit to giving a monthly donation of any amount. For either opportunity, just click the Donate button on our website, boldstepsweekend.org. And when you give a gift of any amount today, ask how you can request a copy of our latest Bold Action Gift, a book Mark wrote that complements this study on moving into the next season.
2020 was a tough year, but now that it's behind us, many of us are looking forward to envisioning a better tomorrow. So what if I told you that you could reimagine your life story? Well, you can. And to help you realign your perspective with the mighty and awesome call that God has placed on your life, I'd like to tell you about a book I've written called What Now? It's about learning how to move into your next season while taking the bold step out of a place of stagnation and into a place where God wants you to go. Make 2021 a season of spiritual fulfillment by requesting a copy today. Again, the book is called What Now? It's yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps Weekend. To learn more, go online to boldstepsweekend.org or call 866-535-5580. And then be sure to ask for What Now? How to move into your next season. Once again, we're online at boldstepsweekend.org.
And then don't forget, there are a variety of ways you can connect with us each day. Whether you're going to our website or using our social media platforms, we'd love to hear from you. To find us on social, just log into your Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter accounts and search for Bold Steps Radio. Well, that's our time for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again next weekend when we close out our series called What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. Mark will be showing you how to take the first bold step, and you can hear those details next week right here on Bold Steps Weekend. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.